Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are back in the studio talking from Terrorize Bible Study Daybreak. And if you are interested in purchasing that or just reading the book as well as the study, you can go to terrorize.com and order it.
Yep, you can.
And be blessed. We are in chapter 9 of the book of Acts, studying about Saul.
I love Saul when he becomes Paul.
When he becomes the conversion.
Yes, but for now, he's still Saul. Bless his heart. You know, we have been going through and talking about the sovereignty of God that we can learn from this experience that Saul has on the road to Damascus when he meets the Lord. And for the last 3 weeks, we've talked about Saul's actual surrender to the Lord and his obedience to get up, go, and then to pray as he's waiting for the next thing to have happen. Today, we're going to finalize everything. We're going to be looking at Ananias. And Ananias, this is not the Ananias of Ananias and Sapphira, because Ananias and Sapphira are already dead.
So is that a common name?
Yeah, it would have been, just like Saul or Paul or Peter. I mean, they're all just, that was the names.
But it's a man's name.
Right. And he, I love this. I like to crack jokes, because I know this is the English translation of it, but... in verse 10, it says, in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision. And I read that, and I thought, you know, that's kind of funny. It's like the holy phone. I'm going to call my person. Let's get the phone up. And God was into the big screens where you see the picture before we ever got that on our Skypes and stuff, you know. He calls to Ananias in a vision, and Ananias' response was, yes, Lord. And then God begins to talk with him about the importance of what needs to have happen. And as I thought about Ananias, as a comparison and contrast, let's think about Saul. When he was confronted, he said, who are you, Lord? But Ananias, when the Lord called to him, what was his response?
Yes, Lord.
Yeah. You know, when Sabrina calls me, or one of my friends that I'm really close to, or maybe one of my children. I might have a hard time with my children sometimes, because sometimes, even though they're teenagers right now, they still sound like little kids.
Yeah.
When they talk on the phone. But the process of time and familiarity makes you comfortable.
Right.
Enough that when you really know somebody, you don't really have to have a lot of the fluff before the dialogue begins to happen. And usually, like, if Greg calls me, you know, it's like, hey, what's up? Or what's up? You know, we just immediately get to whatever it is that we need to talk about.
What's the point?
Well, we'll do that. You don't do all the stuff that you would normally do, you know, with somebody. It's like, how you doing? What's going on? You know, that kind of thing. When you are really familiar with someone, and I want you to think about how Ananias's words really communicate, this is a man who has a very good relationship with God. Mm. Okay? He says, the Lord called to him in a vision, and he said, Ananias. And he said, yes, Lord. He didn't say, who are you? He totally knew it was God. He totally knew whose voice it was. It reminds me of, you know, that my sheep will know my voice. He says, yes, Lord. And the Lord says, I want you to get up and go to the house of Judas on the straight street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. And then Ananias says, Lord, I have heard many reports about the man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with all the authority of all the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Mm. He didn't say how much he's going to have, did he?
Mm-mm.
This week, I for the last few months, I've been telling you, and I think I'll be sitting in this book for a very long time, because the truths are so rich and so deep, I can't get them all. But Dr. Larry Crabb's 66 Love Letters. And this week I was reading about Acts, just kind of happened to fall in with the timing of this. It was kind of cool. And he said that when the scripture says that my teachings are hard, that comes from the Greek word sklero. And it actually, his definition, this is Larry Crabb's definition. He says it means that we have to come to the place where we have to be willing to love with nails in our hands.
I mean,
really think about that. We have to be willing to love with nails in our hands, even when it hurts and causes us to have pain and to bleed. That is true love. That's what Christ's love was. He suffered in his love for us. If we are truly loving as God has called us, we will suffer. Now, we have talked about Paul's education. He was a Roman citizen. He was trained in the Jewish tradition, trained in Mosaic law. He was a Greek philosopher. And God says, go to the Gentiles. Gentiles didn't fit into any of those categories.
Nope.
God sent him to the ones that he would have to suffer much. He had to have the knowledge of all these things in order to reach the people that nobody was willing to go to bring his message. He was a chosen instrument to suffer much in his name. And that's given me a lot of food for thought. I think it's really easy in our Christianity to talk about the blessing. I think it's really easy to talk about what God can do for us and treat God like a benevolent grandpa. But reality is that if we are really walking with the Lord, there, you know, and I'm not trying to scare anyone away from Christianity, but I think that oftentimes we have people walk away because they don't really understand. If you're really going to walk right with God, it's going to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy. But the reality is the hardness of the walk with God is 1,000 times better than what is the easiest in the pit of hell. I mean, that is the truth.
Right.
And the joy that he manifests within his children amidst that hardship is so far well worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what made Ananias be obedient when God asked him to do a hard thing. And here he's asked to do a hard thing, and one of the hard things he's asked to tell him is that he is called to suffer much. So not only is he going to lift the scales, but he is also going to give the word to tell him, you will be called to suffer much for this one that we call Lord. And I mean, anybody that has served faithfully in the missions or in Christian leadership, the pastorate, parachurch organization for Christ, or simply walking their walk in the marketplace amongst their neighbors and friends will totally relate to understand that this is a truth and a reality. And that's the reason why Scripture says we must partake in his sufferings.
That's right.
And his glory. We can't have the glory if we're not willing to take upon the suffering.
Mm.
Because Jesus said, what they have done to the master, they will also do to you. And that's one of the more sobering points. But the reality is I think that we often preach and teach a gospel that minimizes the reality of what Christ really did for us when we act like we can't and we don't have to. And in our Western culture, I think that we really don't grasp that fully. I have good friends that just got back from Korea going to see our foreign exchange students, and they went to the Korean church that's the largest church in the world. And their pastor said, okay, let's pray. And I mean, I'm talking 20, 30,000 people.
Whoa.
All right. He said, let's pray. And she said it wasn't him bowing his head and the congregation bowing their head. She said immediately the entire stadium came alive. She said, I've got goosebumps now as I'm just telling it. She said it was incredible. Hands up, people on knees. I mean, just every position of posture you can imagine in prayer. And it was out loud. And they don't speak Korean, but it was all in Korean. She didn't understand a thing they were saying. But she said it was with passion. And she said it totally blew every concept I had of the Korean culture, of them being a reserved people. Because when they pray, they prayed with passion.
So everybody prayed different at the same time.
They all. And she said, and it wasn't for a minute. It was for a significant length of time. She said it blew her away.
Wow.
Now, when we say let's pray, we get quiet and people look up if the pastor prays longer than a minute. I mean, we're not even willing to suffer in prayer. It makes me think of what Eugene Peterson says, and I don't remember which verse it is, but you treat prayer like a fast food meal.
Sorry, that is so,
it's so sad. And I have to, laughing. I have to ask myself, this is conviction upon Tara Lynn Rye. Would I stay in a closet for 3 days with no food or water and pray? I mean, that's serious prayer. Have I? No, I haven't. I confess, I have not reached that. I have not reached that level of seeking. And what we want to see is that God, in his purposeful sovereignty, he is seeking to reconcile us to himself. And he will use whatever measure and every means to send the one to bring someone. I have a certain list of people I'm praying for right now for their souls. And I am just, God, send them.
Yes.
Put godly men and godly women and godly children in this person's path so that every single day they are confronted with a scripture and surprised by God.
I love it.
You know, he says, Ananias, go. He's my instrument. My instrument. And I'm discovering that what happens is oftentimes if somebody is different, somebody is not what our expectation of a Christian should be, but it's somebody who's maybe even seeking, that sometimes in our Christian circles, we can push them away because we don't want to have to deal with who they are rather than bring them into who they can be. And that is one of the things that we can't do. Ananias could have very well said, I'm going to push Saul away because God, he is this, 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 and this. He, you know, he's a killer. He's coming. He's got the letter. He's got the chief priest. He's got the Sanhedrin. You know, God, what are you doing? But he didn't. God said, go to him. He's my instrument. Every person we encounter, God wants us to have the mentality that it doesn't matter who they are from that second back. And this is, it just makes me want to cry. I'm about to start weeping. He wants us to look at them who they are in Christ now. And if they don't know him, he wants them to know him. And then he wants them to see the fullness of time of what he wants to do in them and through them. Just as he wants to do that in me and he wants to do that in you. That means I have to be an Ananias. It means I have to be willing to go to the one that makes me suffer, that isn't easy, that I may not like, that, or if we go to Lazarus, may stinketh much. I mean, who knows what it could be? It means we've got to be willing to be the Ananias. And that's where it gets hard, because we want convenience,
comfort,
complacency.
People that are like us.
Yeah, God, forgive us.
I know. Forgive me, Lord.
So when we look at this, I want you to see that God does not leave out details. I'm going to show you. This is really cool. He, in wanting to reconcile Saul, he says, he answers the question, what is he supposed to do? He's to go to the house on Judah Street.
Yep.
He says, what to do is go to the house, and then where to go? On Straight Street. I mean, God is a God of details. And he says, who are you to find? Not just Saul, but you're going to find the one from Tarsus named Saul. I couldn't even say that. That was kind of tongue twister. Not only that, he's going to tell him what's going to happen. He told him what happened. He says he has seen a vision, and he's looking for a man called Ananias. So Ananias has no right to not go, because here God's already communicating to him. He's called up. He's got a three-way phone call going on here. You think about it. God in his little, all right, Ananias, I've got a phone call in to Saul, and Saul's got the vision. He's waiting for you, Ananias. You going to go? You know, I'm sitting here thinking, God, who have you called me to go? And I mean, it's extremely important we get this. And he says, why is it so important? Here's a question in 9:15-16. And God says, because he is my chosen instrument. each person on this earth, God has chosen us to be his child.
Glorious.
Yeah. He wants us to be his children. And he has a purpose just as much for us as he had for Saul. Now, Saul had the privilege of being the one who led the Gentile nation. Sabrina is the one that has the privilege of leading in worship. Tara is the one that has the privilege of communicating through whatever means she gets her mouth or hand going. I mean, who knows what I'm going to do. But the reality is each of us have our people, our place, our purpose, and our influence that we're the one that's called to go. And if we're not communicating it to someone else is going to be the one to get it. Sabrina and I were sharing on the break about different circumstances in our lives, and I think it's so funny how our conversations always fit in with whatever the lesson is. And I was telling her that I one day, my son, before school starts, he is in a different school level than my daughter, and so he didn't start school the same time she did. And I said, well, what do you want to do with mommy? And Grant is so cute. He said, I want to get a pedicure. my 10-year-old son, that's what he wanted to do before he went back to school, is to go with mommy and have us both get a pedicure. And I did not mind that because I don't go and get pedicures. But I love to have my foot massage. And we're sitting in this salon. We're just at Walmart, you know, getting the Walmart pedicure place. And this man is working on my feet and the woman is working on Grant's feet. And Grant, literally, his eyes are rolling in the back of his head. And I'm sitting there just totally wanting to zone. And I very clearly heard from God, ask him, get him into dialogue on spiritual things. And I wanted to zone. I wanted to just relax and enjoy my foot massage. I ignored God. And when I ended up leaving, and God very clearly said it to me, I think 3 or 4 times, I'm just confessing my sins here. I left. Grant and I were walking out, and it was as if I heard God say, you just lost your blessing. He's going to go to someone else. Because God has a purpose. He wants us to know him. If somebody's going to know, he will bring the right person. I didn't listen to the call. I'm ashamed to confess that to you. I have other times that I listened, but I want you to understand, we are called to be a people that communicates the gospel to other people. And we have to listen when God says go. We don't say no to God. When it comes to someone knowing his son, we don't have to say, God, I don't know them well enough. I'm not their best friend. God, I haven't built up the relationship. If God says communicate, that means God has already made the phone call. They're just waiting for somebody to call and give the answer that they need to hear. So my encouragement to you today, so I want you to ask God, one, God, do I know you have a heard from you? Do I have your son? Do I believe that Jesus is Lord? Do I believe that he's died for my sins? And if you do, praise God. And then ask him, Lord, who am I to be Ananias to? We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. God bless.